I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, with verse 1. If you have your Bible open there, this is one of the pastoral epistles. This penned by the Apostle Paul as he was in prison for the last imprisonment, about to have his head severed from his shoulders. And he's bearing down to his son in the ministry. And the Bible says, as Paul writes to Timothy under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now think of this. I want you to note the expression "faithful men." How does God qualify them? In just a few days, we have what we call our faithful men's meeting. How does God qualify a faithful man? I have been trying for years to make a list of things and saying, if this list is completed, then this man is faithful. For example, faithful to God, faithful to family, faithful to community. As a matter of fact, I've gone through this second chapter leading from this expression, faithful men, and made a list of seven different things. And for a long time, we dealt with those things. But I want you to notice very clearly what God says. The Bible says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men," and here it is, "who shall be able to teach others also." I believe God is saying here there's a quality for a faithful man, and this qualifies him, and if he does not meet this qualification, he is not a faithful man. He must be able to teach others also. If he's not able to teach others also, how can he say of himself he is a faithful man? The great hindrance in the work of God is that we hinder God's work greatly by dead-ending it in our lives. I think everyone would agree, if you've studied mission work at all, if a missionary goes to the mission field and wins people to the Lord without purpose, I mean by that without thinking, why am I here with the gospel and bringing people to Christ, and just establishes a church, which is no small thing, but if he doesn't train others also, when he's finished, the work is finished. The real strength of this church is not in the pastor or his preaching or choir or its singing, but is in our ability to train others also. And so, I think if you say, well, I read my Bible, I attend church faithfully, I go to the meetings, I'm engaged in some ministry, I'm a part of a working church. But if we are not teaching others also, as far as what the Bible says to qualify a faithful man, I don't think we can qualify as faithful men. Let me read it again. "Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," the same things. Years ago, I asked Mr. Thomason to help me with this, and he and I went through 1 and 2 Timothy. He did most of the work and found 68 things in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, 68 different things that we could say were things that Paul was teaching Timothy. And made a list of those things. We went so far as to say, in this list of those things, we are to commit to people the same things that Paul, these 68 things that Paul committed to Timothy. Notice, please, the Bible says over here in the third chapter, in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. There are 9 specific things there. If we're going to teach people, and God created people to be taught. He made mankind so that mankind can be instructed. Wouldn't we be in a mess if we couldn't be instructed? If it was impossible for us to learn and to have critical thinking, to be guided by God's Spirit, to agree with God's Word. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if we couldn't be awakened? He said to Timothy in this portion that he wrote to him, stir up the gift of God that's in thee. In other words, don't be sleepwalking spiritually. There are a lot of people who need to be stirred up. There has to be an awakening if we're going to be taught. Many people just go through life and they pretend they're listening. And as my mother used to say, did that go in one ear and out the other? And then when she really wanted to get critical, she'd say, there's nothing in there to stop it, is there? Walk over here near me and I can look straight through and see the light through the other side. She's trying to make a point. She's trying to teach me something. I make so many references to my mother because I was raised by my mother. What I learned about so many things in life, I learned from my mother. But the point is, God created people to be instructed. My pastor instructed me. Others instructed me. I remember simple things like people talking to me about how to pray and how to pray in public. I remember a man saying to me, when you read the Bible, you should read the Bible and note carefully the punctuation marks. And notice if you come, because there are chapter and verse divisions, if you come to the end of a verse that's not the end of a sentence, how would you like somebody to speak to you and stop in the middle of a sentence? God is speaking to us. Concentrate on what you're reading and see that you come to the end of the sentence. I have a copy of the scriptures in the Authorized Version, the King James translation, and it's in paragraph form. It's been very helpful to me to be able to read the Bible in paragraph form as God gave it that way. Of course, we believe in the verbally plenary inspired Word of God. We believe every word of it's the Word of God and all of it's the Word of God. But I remember someone helping me to be able to read the scriptures and read them publicly. You say, well, that's a simple thing. Well, how many of you have ever heard somebody read the Bible and you wonder if they didn't just treat it too lightly, honestly, and they didn't read it publicly as it should have been read? Or pray in public, and you call on people to pray. They don't know how to pray in public. They don't know how to lead in prayer. They hardly know how to start and how to stop. So let's review for a moment. If we're going to be faithful men and faithful women, and we certainly want to consider God's work. We do not want to consider God's work without considering how women can be used of God. And I think it's so demeaning to a man to be demeaning of women in the work of the Lord. You may think you're being smart by saying, you know, I don't like this women stuff or whatever. But if you know anything about God's Word and God's work in the world, you know how God has wonderfully used women in His wonderful work. And so I say for men and women, He instructs us to instruct others. I cannot call myself a faithful man if I'm not instructing others. I believe, I'm just doing this from memory, but I believe, I remember reading that 269 times the word disciple is used and only 3 times the word Christian is used. One who is instructed. Teaching. There's an emphasis on teaching. Of the many things Jesus was referred to as, He was referred to as a teacher, Rabboni. Teacher, He's a teacher. And I want us to give the attention that God wants us to give in faithful men, and the thing that He uses here in Holy Scripture to qualify a faithful man as an instructor, as a teacher. Let me give you a little clue. If you'll turn back, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12, this is one of the first things we find after we find the glorious gospel has been committed to us. In verse 11, in verse 12, the Bible says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, put him into the ministry. I want you to note the expression, he enabled me. And by that verse, you may like to write a reference to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, able. You say, well, I'm just not a teacher. Oh, yes, you are. You can tell what you know. You can be specific about it. Just as Paul said, I have taught these things to Timothy. He says to Timothy, you're a witness, thou hast fully known. And he goes down the line with the things that Timothy has fully known. I believe he's giving an open inference there that the time has been taken with this young man to teach him these things. Doctrine, manner of life, and so on. And when you and I examine our lives, my wife and I were talking about this today. I don't remember, know if she remembers the conversation. And we were talking primarily about our sons. And the emphasis was, what remains that you would like to teach them? You need to teach them. Boys, get this, or sit with your mother and father always. Listening. Teaching. If we examine this audience or any audience and we say, are we faithful? We are not faithful if we're not teaching others. I'll go so far as to say that no one should play gospel music at a piano and hymn playing without teaching someone else. I would say nobody should be trying to witness to the unsaved without teaching others how to witness to the unsaved. I would go so far as to say that no one should be trying to have a Bible class without an assistant teaching that person how to teach the Bible also. You know, people are so ignorant of the things of God, so ignorant of the things of God, you have to take the Bible, hold it in your hand, and say to them, in this day in which we live, this is a Bible. This is a book. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's God's revelation of Himself. Show them from the table of contents that there are 66 books in it. Show them there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word testament meaning covenant. And give them some instruction about how to begin to read it. If possible, read a book at one setting. And always read and study the Bible in its context. And we take all these things for granted. If there's ever going to be the church here that it ought to be, the pastor must be teaching others, not just from the pulpit, but taking them alongside him, instructing them, helping them. And those who've been taught need to be teaching others also. And so when we have this faithful men's meeting, out of this faithful men's meeting, we are to say to one another, we want to get something started. In other words, this is not about having a banquet and trying to have 2,500 people. It's what will we teach those people that they can teach others also. What expectation do we have? In the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, when God talks about family life, the reason God gives us children is so that we can instruct children in the truth God's given us. And we instruct them in a way so that they can instruct others also. To thy son, thy son's sons. And so a father starts with his son so that his sons can get it to his sons. And that's the way it is all the way through the Word of God. And so to be a faithful man, this is what we must do. May God help us. The greatest knowledge, you may want to write it down, is the knowledge of God. The Lord wants us to know Him. Remember in John chapter 14 when Philip said, show us the Father and it suffices us. It satisfies us. It will provide what I need if you'll just show me the Father. And Jesus said, hast thou been with me so long time, Philip, and hast not known me? All truth proceeds from God. The greatest knowledge is the knowledge of God. How many frivolous things have we taught people? I like humor and I like having a good time. But have we spent the time necessary to teach the truth of God to the next generation? For example, you remember the story about the daughter who was dying and she said, "Mother, you taught me how to dress. You taught me how to hold a cigarette when I smoked it. You taught me how to handle my liquor when I started drinking in public as an adult, young adult. But you never taught me about God and how to live for God and how to die. And here I am dying and know I haven't been taught the right things." I wonder how many in this generation will stand up and say, "There were many of you who said you were Christians. There were many of you who said you believed the Bible. And you taught me how to play ball. You taught me how to dress with propriety. You taught me how to shake hands or greet one another. You taught me lots of things. But you didn't teach me about God and God's Word." I think no wonder God says of the faithful man, he's able to teach others also the things he's been taught. You see, this is convicting to me. It's convicting to me as a pastor. It's convicting to me as a husband. I've had to apply myself all of my life as an adult because I was called into the ministry. And I think a call to the ministry is a call to prepare. Would you agree? If God calls you, with that call, you are called to prepare. And there's an intensity about that. And I am to bring my wife along with me, to patiently work with her and help her. And, of course, in a million and one ways, she's helped me. But what I know about God and God's Word, I am to instruct her. And I've tried to do that, but I have failed. She's a wonderful woman, and I think she knows about fundamentalism and biblical Christianity. One of the things that's great about her is she recognizes what's wrong, what's evil. And I think that's the way truthful people ought to be. They ought to be so familiar with the truth, when something's not the truth, they know that's not the truth. And she's a discerning woman who knows that. But I think of how many other things I have known I could have taught her and have done it in the right spirit, or my sons, so that they could teach their sons. And all of our shortcomings, perhaps our greatest shortcoming, is that we've heard so much and taught so little. Would anybody agree with that? We're such privileged people, and we've heard of other people who are going to places, listening to preachers, and in churches where we know they don't hear the Bible. We know they don't teach the Bible. And we hold them to a standard even higher than our standard, when truthfully, they haven't been exposed to the truth we've been exposed to. And God's going to hold us to a higher standard. Would you agree? And so the faithful man must be able to teach others also. This involves accuracy. It involves being specific. As I said earlier, it involves an awakening. It takes time and patience. It's a difficult task. No wonder the Lord says that He's the one who enables us to do this. Because there's no way we could do it on our own. We just couldn't do it on our own, could we? But God enables us. I think it might be well for all of us, been saved a long time. I got saved as a near 14-year-old. Think of that, how long I've been a Christian. I think it would do us all well to sit down and ask God by His Spirit, we meditate upon the subject, ask God by His Spirit to deal with us and help us to list things that we know about God and His Word that we have yet to teach others. And work hard at it. And may the Lord enable us. This is essential. And may God by His Spirit guide us. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I just want you to know, church, this is what I'm praying will happen through the emphasis given in this faithful men's meeting. that a wave would sweep through our church and through the lives of others who will come in our midst during this meeting, and that we'll take seriously this assignment God has given us. If we're going to consider ourselves to be faithful people, we don't qualify unless we're teaching others also.